Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Right Fit Sport and Wellness here locally in the Illinois area. Global School Wear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, and Lower Extremity Review, LER, and MVP Parent Magazine. We got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Michael Warich, he's a partner at the Game Planners, the leading innovative group with major focus on all areas, youth soccer, again, from the kids to the national team and player development. He's returning along with Adam Weil, my son, the CEO of Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, and the Sports Doctors In segment, your emails, upcoming guests. First, I want to welcome back Michael. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Give us some background on you and some of the different sports organizations and situations that have led you to get so involved with the Game Planners.
Yeah, so last time we had spoke, I had been working on an instrument, a 360-degree feedback tool that sports youth sports clubs could use to get a handle on how their various constituencies were feeling about how the club was being run. So we had some success with that, but in the last year and a half, had begun to have conversations with a few other individuals who were looking to kind of change the whole club sports paradigm, and specifically in the youth soccer world, basically looking to help these clubs run more efficiently and effectively by taking into consideration things that they typically don't, like organization development, business development, obviously player development, and management leadership practices, all coming together to create an engaging, fun experience and a developmental experience for club members. So the focus of the Game Planners is really on youth soccer, and our guiding principle, if you will, is that we do believe that an organization that gets adequate results, and the difference between one of those and one that stands out and thrives, irrespective of the sport, but again, we're dealing mainly with youth soccer, is their ability to manage themselves effectively. So in essence, we're sort of bringing an organizational lens to the work that gets done in running a youth soccer
club. That's important, Michael. You know, on the Sports Doctor, you know how much we focus on the world of youth sports and the tremendous important areas of, number one, preventing injuries, trying to stay out of trouble, both mentally and physically. Number two, enhancing performance, working with parents and coaches. And it's nice to see the organizational side of things, like my friends at the National Institute of Youth Sports, that start to really pay attention to, you know, how things are run, how successful they might be on an organizational point of view, instead of being season to season, like
right.
You talk about, focusing on soccer, which is one of the prodigy sports, as I call them, where we have kids very early ages specializing in that one sport. And I see that you're dealing with kids from the youth leagues to national team players in your organization.
That's right. That's right. And again, the focus is really on trying to help these clubs run smoothly. We recognize that, you know, not every player is going to reach the highest levels of their sport. We're looking at, you know, the majority of the clubs that are the youth soccer clubs that are out there, again, to recognize what they're trying to do, whether it's a rec club, YMCA, a developmental club, an academy-level club, and even some of these feeder clubs up to the MLS. what their mission is, what their vision is, and try to help them develop a strategy, an organizational strategy, a business strategy, along or coinciding with their player development strategy that's going to work for them. And in all the work that I've done in the measurement phase of this, helped us kind of drive to developing what we call a club effectiveness model, which is a causal model that we talk with clients about to help them understand the interrelationships between these various variables. So for us, the three primary drivers are org development, player development, and business development. And those things kind of coalesce and come together and create an engaging experience for the various members in these clubs, be they players, parents, coaches, staff, etc. And we believe that creating that type of experience for the membership is going to lead to these outcomes like retention, which, as you know, lots of kids give up. They stop playing. It's not fun anymore. Retention of the membership, financial stability, and also just the brand recognition in the marketplace. So we end up doing different things for different organizations depending on what the presenting issues might be. So it's a little bit of a different lens, and the challenge for us is to develop the market, essentially. This isn't really something that clubs have kind of have a line item in their annual budget for. They just, it's a little bit of a new phenomenon for them to sort of think about, and we're gaining traction. We've spent the better part of this first year out of the box since January or February to just build awareness and doing talks like this with writing articles, making presentations. That's kind of what we've been doing the last few months to try to build awareness
and exposure. Michael?
The website?
What's the site people could find out about this?
Yeah, sure. www.thegameplanners.com. We also have a Facebook page as well. We're on LinkedIn as well. But I would encourage your listeners to check us out. Again, I think that, you know, we're trying to make the market here. We're trying to change the paradigm, try to move away a little bit from this whole, winning at all costs
kind
of mentality and creating a good experience.
Absolutely. One of the paradigms we've been trying to change for the past 25 years on the Sports Doctor, give or take a few weeks, is the pressure on these kids, the overkill. The reason I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharkey Zartman, was the epidemic with capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries.
Right.
Too much, too aggressive, too overscheduling, et cetera, et cetera. And this absolutely is a key part of an organizational side of things, like you're talking about, which is being run well, and you know the idea of some of the basics, that the kids are going to have a good experience. Once you get to the club level, these kids are serious. Their parents are serious. The coaches are serious. And this many times is when we say, you know, good luck, you know, to all of us. Everybody,
right.
You're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see who were the guests, what were the topics. You could listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see an endless array of articles on everything from what's the best shoe to what about specializing in one sport to the new excitement with MVP Parent Magazine. All of our colleagues in our team, as I call it, in the world of youth sports, iSport 360, National Alliance of Youth Sports, working with parents in sports in England, et cetera, et cetera. And again, we have tremendous following on Twitter and LinkedIn, almost 50,000 followers. A lot of great information we publish at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Michael Ward. He's one of the partners with the Game Planners, a very serious organization to bring together all the aspects that are important in a well-run organization. You know, it's funny, Michael, again, there's been so much tremendous attention. You know, in soccer is an international sport. It's one of the highest participation sports in youth sports at all. And So what are some of the services that you think that the game planners could bring to any soccer organization?
Sure. Yeah, anyway, just to echo your comment there, I mean, there's over, last I counted, there's over 7 million players ages 6 to 17 in the U.S., and we've counted probably well over 8,000 youth soccer clubs in the U.S. as well. So there's still plenty of kids playing and enjoying the game, and obviously that's our goal. Not everybody's going to go play in college. Not everybody's going to get a pro contract, et cetera, et cetera. So again, we're focusing in on these clubs to kind of get them to create this great experience for all involved. And you asked about the areas of focus or the services. We kind of broke them down into these three primary drivers that we have: this organizational development, business development, and player development. So just quickly, in the org development space, you're talking about things like helping a club create its philosophy, its mission, vision, and values, longer-term strategic planning for the viability of the club, human capital planning, org design, governance structures, refreshing club policies and procedures, all-around process improvements, leadership, staff assessment, recruitment, onboarding, offboarding, those kinds of things. Not that different than what you would see in corporate America as it relates to this sort of organizational ecosystem. To date, the focus has really been on, as I said, player development and coaching and making sure you have...
Well, I'm going to add it. Here's my pearl for the day from the sports doctor, of course, which is safety.
Yes.
With a capital S. All areas of parent awareness and understanding, interaction with coaches, who do I call if there's a problem on the sideline? Some of our friends at Team Safe that we've had on the show numerous times, Dr. Harwood's fantastic program to add to all of these organizational side of things when we're talking about concussion awareness.
Yes.
Of course, as a sports podiatrist, let's talk about being in the right shoe for your high-performance son or daughter. Or let's talk about preventing injury. All of these things that we like to add to the focus. And again, I think you've got a great gap that you're filling, which is this organizational challenge when it comes to traveling teams and expenses and of these things. Once they start getting into a club sports, and you mentioned you work with high caliber players as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we're in conversations now with the United States Soccer Federation. Again, doing a lot of sensing, talking to, kind of getting their opinions from soccer influencers across the country as it relates to how we're looking at this sort of club effectiveness model, and casting a wider lens on this, and moving just beyond sort of winning at all costs and creating the next Christian Pulisic. Again, there's a huge audience out there. It's interesting, picking up on your safety comment. Again, we're talking about creating a well-rounded set of offerings in these clubs, including what you mentioned. That for us kind of falls in the player development.
Count the sports doctor in for helping you in anything you need. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's I read a stat somewhere, was like the injury proneness is 6 times greater for players playing 2 matches a week versus 1 match per week. So in terms of developing a training curriculum and a regimen, those things we take into consideration when we work with clubs as well. Education programs, mentorship, individual planning, player and coach profiles. How do you go out and find a good club that's a good fit for your club? These are areas in which we're sort of bringing stuff from corporate America into running a successful youth soccer club.
Yes, my friends at iSport 360, Ian Goldberg, the founder of iSport 360, a great app, and the idea was communication with parents and coaches.
Yes.
And, how about some listening for the kids, as well?
That's
and
right.
Again, with some of the understanding that there's been such overdue in so many different areas. And, hey, listen, I've seen some of the best youth soccer players around the world for years on and off. and as early as 10 years old, 12 years old, a little bit older. So the real challenges of these kinds of schedules, like you just said, and understanding that we're already starting with overkill. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And we have to understand that the pressure on some of these kids, and of course the challenge that COVID has brought to the table,
sure,
has just increased. You know, everybody we talk to talks about mental fitness and mental health in so many different areas. So regardless of the level of the soccer organization, they could use your help.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different twist, right? We talk to, in terms of player development, things like technical, tactical, physical, or fitness, if you will, and the mental part, which had been sort of mental strength and being able to be resilient and bounce back from mistakes and injuries and so on and so forth. So sort of a mental toughness thing.
Deal.
But the COVID thing sort of sent in something a little new. And so I do think that the need for that's been pronounced. And again, that's how that falls for us underneath helping these clubs develop a robust set of programs beyond just, you know, training and playing matches. You know, nutrition, safety, time management, all these things, you know, SAT prep, anything that could help the individuals in terms of what they need. And you mentioned Ian's organization. I know they just put out a study that said that lack of player development and lack of feedback or communication, especially from coaches, is a real issue. We concur with that. So when we're talking about coach education and developing those types of curriculum, getting a coach to be more than just X's and O's, a good listener, being able to provide systematic and informal feedback.
Tremendous,
on
I'll tell you.
All things that are important and critical.
Tremendous array of services. Michael, give me again
Absolutely. The
website. People could find out all about Game Planners.
Sure. Thegameplanners.com. You can also find us on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. So, again, I encourage all your listeners to go check us out. We do think we're changing the paradigm, and we're really trying to move managing season
are,
to
Michael.
Season.
Yes, you absolutely are. Got some supporters over here. Michael, hold on. Thanks so much. Michael Warch, the Game Planners soccer organization. Hold on, Michael. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. Goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents.
Hey, everybody, we are back. It's live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back Adam Weil, my son. He's the CEO of Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Hey, Adam, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dad. It's welcome back, if you remember, from not only this time, but when I think I was 4 years old, right around Christmas.
As a matter of fact, yes, our original show, Bob Guida, I think some of the White Sox you were on with the late, great WKDC in Elmhurst. So, yes, in between you back and forth. Give us some background, Adam, on you and the world of school uniforms.
Okay, sure. So, you know, Global Schoolwear is a company with the license with Tommy Hilfiger, with the exclusive license. So we provide school uniforms to, we're just over 600 different schools now around the country. We're in all 50 states. We do contracts directly with the schools, and then through a website that's customized for each school, we send product directly to the parents. They go online, they order, and we send it to them. So we're now, you know, we started out 6 years ago, actually, partnered with a company out of New York, and we built this together. And then a couple of years ago, had the opportunity when they were going through a transition to own the company. I'm part owner of the company now, and we operate around the country with a distribution center in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Now, you go back, I mean, is it 20 years that you have experience in the school uniform world, or am I nuts?
Well, 20 years seems right. Like a long time, doesn't it, for your son from a professional perspective? I think I started doing this in 2003, so about 18 years. And I started out in the camp, you know, kids that go away to camp for 4 and 8 weeks in the summer, and this really great company out of Chicago at that time was called The Clothes Company, and I kind of came up with them and then got into school uniforms from there, and had an opportunity to go to Land's End and help build that program. And from there, you know, one thing leads to another, and I'm here.
Here you are. You know, it's interesting. School uniforms, which, you know, in the past people would think about, oh, I think the kids think it's stodgy and they're not interested and they got pleated skirts, all of that stuff. And all of a sudden you come in with this label of high fashion, Tommy Hilfiger, really cool stuff. And I just changing the paradigm of the excitement around school uniforms. Have you seen that because of your label affiliation?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I know you and I have talked about it off air before. But so there's three things I think that are really important in a really good uniform company. And one of the biggest one of those, outside of being, you know, having really good product and prices in a facility in which somebody can order it and easily get it, is the brand. So I think that not taking anything away from anybody else, but I would say that that is out in this business, but this, and I've been doing it long enough I was with Clothes Company, which didn't have a brand. I was at Land's End, which I consider to be a really good brand, but more of a brand that parents love. Us having the affiliation and selling Tommy Hilfiger, in my mind, it's the only school uniform company with a brand the kids want to wear. So when you're getting into schools, yeah, it's a really big deal because it's all right, especially for schools that are transitioning into uniform for the first time. You know, kids are like, what do you mean I got to wear a uniform? Or people that have been in maybe they want to refresh their uniform or do something different, they come to us, and I think it brings some new energy and life into a program they already have. So it definitely is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, reason that we're growing the way we are.
You know, the area of school uniforms, and you and I have talked about it before in the past, and when you were on the show and we talked about areas of pressure on kids in school, what are you wearing, and you have the latest trend and all of this stuff, and the bullying and all of these kinds of things in some way, shape, or form, and the fact of you're on the same team, everybody's wearing a uniform, that kind of pressure is off. I always thought was something that was kind of underappreciated in the world of school uniforms when it comes to kids and their attitudes. Have you seen that?
Well, yeah, we hear that all the time. I would tell you that I'm someone growing up didn't wear a uniform, and at that particular time would have thought the same way that you did, that it was not something that could be helpful. Actually, it was something you would never want to do. But now we see a couple things. One, is the way that we're pricing when someone buys their uniform. They generally spend tremendously less than they would on trying to shop for a regular back to school for their kids. And second to that is the whole socioeconomic thing, is that from a, you know, it's already hard enough to be a kid these days with everything that everybody has to deal with, let alone go to school and worry about if you're not wearing the same thing as everybody else, or maybe you are in a position where you might not be able to afford it, but other people can, and you're judged on what you're wearing. This eliminates that factor. So the line that we always use is this way kids can concentrate on what they're learning and not what they're wearing.
This is a big deal, Adam, and especially in this day and age with what we've gone through with COVID and the challenges. Everybody I have on the Sports Doctor from around the world, whatever their profession is, whatever their area of interest is, they talk about mental health, and they talk about the tremendous challenge on the children from A to Z. And what you mentioned, which I think maybe not that many years ago wouldn't have been thought of as that big a deal, becomes a very big deal. What's the website people could find out all about Global Schoolwear?
Well, that's, and I know that we also are proud sponsors, so they get a chance, for the folks who are listening, get a chance to hear that a couple times during the show, but it's www.globalschoolwear.com. So they can easily get online and check it out. And you know, the one thing I'd add to what you just said is, you know, we're not, you know, curing diseases here. We're making clothes. And I'm not, you know, I know that's exactly what we're doing. And there's people out there that are doing things, you know, of probably greater importance. But for the small niche that we are doing, I think that in the cases like we're talking about right now, we're making a difference. And, you know, we try to also, from a company perspective, provide a place that's great for folks to work, you know, to be a part of. And, you know, I think we do make a difference. And we get to see these kids, and, you know, and we also try to make a great product, right? So when the kids put the product on, it's something they can count on. It's going to last all year, so that the parents have one less thing to worry about. With in a world like your point right now, there's a lot people have on their mind.
It really, really is, you know. And the area of school uniforms, is it strictly private schools, religious schools? Is there interest growing, like, in the area of public schools?
Yeah, it did. We don't play as much in the public school arena. I'll tell you why. Most public schools tend to go towards a thing called dress code. And dress code generally means that there is choice, a lot of different choice, right? So all of our programs, for the most part, are in charter, parochial, religious schools, and private schools. But there is, you know, uniforms are really interesting. It's been a very big growing trend across the country. So it's a good time for, you know, folks like us. There's a lot of opportunity out there to get in front of both schools that have been doing uniform for a long time and schools that are doing it for the first time.
Yes, because in the world of, there's nothing officially, right, in the world of public schools that prohibits them from adding school uniforms, or is there?
Ask that again. I didn't hear that.
Is there any? I mean, there's nothing officially that public schools, if they decided particular areas or school districts decided, you know, we're going to add school uniforms to our public schools. Is that something that is allowable? It's no big deal. It's up to the individual public school district, for example.
Yeah, 100%. As a matter of fact, for instance, in New Orleans, you've got, I think, 95% of the public schools there are in some sort of a uniform. So it's up. I mean, obviously, when you go and push an agenda like that, you get both sides of the fence. You get a lot of parents that are excited about it, and also a lot of parents that aren't. So I think that, you know, there are quite a few steps that people go through, districts go through, in order to make something like that work.
So to some of the different items that are available in school uniforms, give us some examples of what are available that go into some of the popular uniforms.
Sure. Well, you know, it varies school to school, which is really interesting. We've got 600 schools that we deal with, and I don't know that one uniform is the same. So we have sort of a menu of things for schools to pick from. But generally speaking, you might have a couple different color polos, maybe khaki and navy pants for boys with the sweater options and ties, and the girls might have the same options as those, including a skort or a skirt or a plaid. A lot of schools that are private have some sort of a plaid, which is their brand, right? So they have a plaid, maybe in some cases they've used for over 100 years. And that plaid is something that we then recreate with the work, working with the school and provide to them too. So it's a whole thing. We also do physical education. So we do, shorts and t-shirts and sweatshirts and sweatpants and things like that as well.
Inclusion of, all of these different items makes, so much sense. We have to add the Sports Doctor recommended socks and shoe styles for you guys sometime in the future, Adam. Remind me to send you that information when we, get a chance.
But you and I have talked for a while. I think it would make a lot of sense to have a sock recommended by you.
Absolutely. For enhanced performance. Do you want to be two steps quicker with better balance? You might want to take a look at that. So how long have you been involved with the Tommy Hilfiger label?
6 years. Actually, as a matter of fact, a little bit longer than that. But an interesting, Griffin, your grandson, who just turned 6 on September 3rd.
Happy birthday, Griffin.
Yeah. When he was born, I had already done maybe 5 or 6 months of product development, but that's when we started selling. So the official kind of birth date of the company is his birthday, when he was born, 9/3/2015.
Is he aware of that fame, by the way?
I think I've told him a couple times, but it might have gone in.
Is he listening to the show that we would be right?
I'm sure wherever he is, he's dialed in. At home,
absolutely.
Right,
otherwise we do it on the replay. But that's quite a marriage.
That's a cool story.
I really remember.
It was Aaron, my wife Aaron, and I at the beginning of this, out of a small little place that we're developing all this product. And I remember right after Griffin was born, we were in, I think it was in Minnesota for a trade show. Griffin was sleeping, on a little mat while we were behind at a trade show trying to tell people about the program. So it started out like that. It's been a kind of a homegrown thing.
Yes, and I know that you have a distribution center here in Naperville, Illinois. Now, the school uniforms, do they all have monograms that identify the school, for example?
Yeah, so most, almost all schools that we have, we logo their apparel with what their school logo or the logo of their choice might be. And most schools have more than one logo. But if they've got, for their outerwear, if they have fleeces and sweaters and polos, they have a left chest logo on them, generally speaking. We embroider that here, and their PE or the physical education would have, a heat transfer or, what some people would see would remind them of a screen print on the T-shirts and the shorts and those kinds of things, too. And we do all of that as well. So we develop all our own product, and we take the orders, and then we actually decorate all the items before we send them out.
Are gym suits as popular and as much of a big deal as they always were, like forever?
Well, I don't think they're called gym suits.
They don't call it anymore.
No, I don't
think so.
All right,
hey, listen, we're going to be right back. We're going to be right back with Adam. We're jumping in here with a couple of commercials. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I am trading stories with my son, Adam Weil. He's the CEO of Global Schoolwear Uniforms, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. He asked me right before the break, when was the last time anybody interviewed you on your show? I said, I can't think of it. He's got a couple of questions. Adam, you're on.
Thanks. How long have you been doing this, Dad?
I think I'm pushing 40 years, give or take a few weeks.
Yeah, I think it might be more. I think, you know what, I think it might be a little more than that, but it's been my whole life that I've been listening to you on the radio, which is pretty cool.
Isn't that amazing?
You still love it?
I do. It's my highlight, the excitement of live radio. Adam was asking me questions how long we're doing it, and we never have trouble, but, you know, here it is. With some, we're just talking with Adam Wild, CEO of School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. He was actually interviewing me, and we were talking about how long we've been doing this, about 40 years. And the this is a great story, Adam, that with all of this time, we ended up with a live interruption, and you're the guest.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm proud to be the CEO of Global Schoolwear, but I'm more proud that I get to be your son. So it was, you know, I was going to say to you, so the Bears, real quick story that I would like to tell is I've been watching Bears games or texting with you during Bears games since I was a little kid, correct?
Correct.
So we have, we've had more downs than ups, correct?
Yes.
And you were, you know, I don't know if many folks know this, but you were also, the physician for many of those 85 Bears, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember being a kid, I had separated my shoulder and I was at your office, and I had Leslie Frazier on one side and Richard Dent on the other side of me. They were both getting treatment while I was in the middle of them. And I remember Richard Dent giving me his Super Bowl ring and letting me wear it. You remember that?
I do. That was the famous Bob Guida, the trainer of champions, my mentor in sports medicine, his clinics. They were all coming to see him. I was a lucky guy being Bob's podiatrist. Otherwise, I don't see the Richard Dent and the John McEnroe and whatever. I remember the size of that ring on your hand?
Well, as a kid, you have to imagine as a kid and watching these guys on television, being such a huge fan, and then being going to your office and sitting next to them was pretty amazing.
Yes, that was pretty amazing. Something that, remember we loaned John McEnroe my car?
You did loan him your car, and my favorite John McEnroe story is this, is that you, me, and John McEnroe went to breakfast in Glen Ellen, and somebody came up to get a autograph from John McEnroe. He was 20 years old. He was like number one in the world, and he was, let's just say he was John McEnroe to this person. He wasn't particularly nice. He kind of snapped at them, and then you snapped at John McEnroe and said, listen, I live here. This is my town, and if you're going to be here, you got to be polite to the people that come up. Do you remember that?
No wonder he hasn't come back on the show.
Right?
You know what I mean? Yes. And that was one of the tremendous excitements of that whole world of being around some of these superstar dash celebrities in that whole area. And it's true. I don't know. Like you said, you were 3-4 years old when Dick Chase, the late, great Hall of Fame high school coach, whose radio show in Elmhurst you guys were on, you and your sister, Jordan, with a couple of questions and whatever, sitting around doing the radio. So this is true forever. You remember that as a part of our dad-son relationship. It's funny.
No, it was great. It was great. And so my question for you at the end of all that was a Bears question, which is, everybody else in the league seems to be starting a quarterback they drafted except for the Bears.
They want to give him some time. They want to take the pressure off this kid's head. We've got somebody who with a system that's ready to go in. But yes, this is a big part of this is how they drove Mitch Trubisky out of town. You know, this kind of pressure. So it'll be exciting to see. And like you were talking in my office, I have this little post-it note. Who knows how old it is? It's from you. It says Bears rule. So yes, you've always been a big time Bears and a Cubs fan, and so it's been great to have you back, Adam. Talk a little bit about your journey, not only in school uniforms, but your journey from Glen Ellen, Illinois, in that regard. A lot of fun. Any more questions before we finish up?
Before I finish up, I got to tell you what my opinion on the same question I asked you.
Okay,
which is, the Bears aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're not even maybe going to win. Hopefully they win 8 or 9 games, maybe sneak into the playoffs, but they're not playing for a Super Bowl. So why not start the future?
You know that? On that note, I want to thank Adam Weil, my son, the CEO of Global Schoolwear. Adam, give me the website again for them.
All right, www.globalschoolwear.com. Thanks, Dad, for having me on.
Hold on, Adam. Everybody will be back with the Sports Doctors In segment. This was a highlight. You loved it. Hold on, Adam. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Boy, was that fun. My son Adam talking school uniforms, and he turned to ask some fun questions. Great memories. And it's always a little exciting when you got live radio. Maybe if we got interrupted a touch, but we are back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. By the time you hear this, it'll be flawless, put together by our friends at BBS. As you know, we do some preview of upcoming shows. We answer a few emails. Got a great show next week. Steve Cashel is one of the voices of the Chicago Bulls with introduction to their games. He's also a golf infomercial aficionado, and he's partnered with our second guest, Dr. Brian Cole, who's the team doctor of the Bulls and White Sox. They team up for a great weekly show, Sports Medicine Weekly, on ESPN Radio on Saturday mornings. I've been on their show, and they've been on mine. So we're really looking forward to having them back next week. Following week, one of my faves, Lou Vickery, prolific author. Lou pitched for the Yankees and Cardinals back in the 60s. He has written numerous books. He had a popular podcast radio show, Lou in the Morning, out of Pensacola, Alabama, Florida area. And I was privileged to once a month, I joined him. We called it the Sports Doctors In. We did that for about 3 years before he retired. He's got a new book coming out with the famous Sonny Smith, former Auburn coach, Winning the Head Game. So that's on the 22nd of September. Great guests coming up. A few emails. Carl says, my 13-year-old son is a serious figure skater. He's been skating since he's 5 years old. I've heard you on various shows talk about orthotics being a step up. Yes, Carl, they are. When done properly, custom orthotics are a big step up in two areas of figure skating, in my experience, over four decades. Number one, one of our best ways to prevent trouble with the feet, ankles, knees, low back, the alignment, orthotics really, really help. Number two, they make a very positive difference in all areas of performance, balance, edging, propulsion, landing stability. And I tell people all the time, Carl, that I've never had a coach
And I've seen some of the best skaters in the world. Again, my poster boy, Evan Lysacek, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist. He was under 10 years old when I first put orthotics in his skates. Now I've got another group of about a dozen, 9, 10-year-old hot shots already doing double jumps. And I never had a coach call me and say, you know, Doc, you messed up this kid's balance. You've slowed him down, et cetera. And I'm including hockey. But in your area of figure skating, so even if your son has no problems, if you have the right sports podiatrist, again, the job of custom orthotics when done properly is alignment. Put the joints in their best position, enhance efficiency, stability. And this is the same rationale for an 80-year-old great-grandma as it is for your 13-year-old figure skater when done properly, almost always a step up. Ann says, both my 14-year-old girls play club volleyball. Any advice? Ann. Volleyball is, I go way back. My colleague Bob Guida was the strength and conditioning coach in the 70s, 80s on some of the national teams. It's one of the highest performance sports in girls and women's sports. So much jumping. You really want to make sure that your daughters are in the best shoe for their particular foot type. Seeing podiatry makes a lot of sense. If they have a history of foot, ankle, lower leg, knee, or back problems, another reason to pay big attention to foot mechanics, as well as off volleyball training and strengthening, being involved with a good program of strengthening, being under the good guise of a personal trainer or a physical therapist is always something that we pay attention to because, again, 14 years old, girls are really coming into or coming out of puberty. Their body is changing. We continue to see 5-to-1 serious ACL knee tears, females to males. And again, volleyball is famous for all of this jumping. So pay attention, be proactive. Include in my book, hashtag a sports parent, I talk about the two essential exercise concepts, and I'll include it right here with your daughters. One is strengthen those feet and ankles. Get these kids on the technique. Rubber bands is a great way to do it, strengthening those feet and ankles. And number two, work balance. Include balance, the tilt boards, the mini trampolines, the sand dune steppers, the BOSU. Every time you create instability, you strengthen everything. And include that with your girls. Perry says, I'm 45 years old. I want to ask you generalization about running shoes. Is less better? You know, as a rule, Perry, after, well, paying attention to this for already over 10 years, it's not. It depends on the individual. So foot mechanics becomes a big deal. If you could help by paying attention to finding exactly what, do you have high arches? Do you have excessively pronated feet? So getting that input makes a lot of sense. As a rule, the thrust towards lighter and lighter, less supportive shoes has not been a successful experiment. It's okay if the runner doesn't have a history of injury, wants to take a look at shoes that maybe are lighter, maybe a little bit less structurally supportive. I wouldn't fight with them forever. But a lot of this was overhype. A lot of this was great advertising. For the most part, good, stable running shoes. There's a lot of great brands. Make sure you're fit properly. This is a big deal on the sports doctor. 40% of us aren't even fit properly, including athletes. Usually it's with sizing that's one of the concerns. So you want to make sure that you're fit properly. And if you've had success with a running shoe, then I would stick with the brand. Sometimes that's difficult because it's changing all the time. Most of the changes in technology that we've seen in running shoes have been positive. Again, new materials, more attention to proper stability and alignment. You know, running shoes still to this day are the only sports shoes that take into account a motion control shoe, a stability shoe, having these kinds of categories. But regardless, you want to make sure you fit properly. You know, one of the most popular sections in the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is parents' perspectives, where we have like a tennis coach parent, like Timmer Halligan. We have a figure skating mom, Nancy Ryan. We have a soccer and volleyball Division One daughters, Kirk Mango, talking about their experiences in parenting child athletes and the kinds of challenges. Sometimes the concerns, the craziness, especially if your son or daughter is a serious athlete, maybe even a scholarship athlete. So it's a great perspective, something you really want to get a chance to look at, some of the feedback. Again, everybody, want to thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we will see you next week. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. Thank you.